Well, my sister and Ed, my mom's are good. Yeah, they're closer. They are good and the same way. I think there's no one in between the two. They're very close. And then come John, Sangge. Yeah. So they were close together, and
Were they at the same college? Is that how they met? Uncle Ed and
No,
Ed.
they, how did Eddie come out? I think he was with the American Information Service, news, a little bit of spying maybe, yeah. You never know what people do in those things. So he was there, and then he had to leave China because a part of the American supply was going to the communists. And by American directive, they wanted someone to go to the communists because I think America at that time thought the communists were good people that they would help China. See, yeah. Didn't know the communists were bad, but the Chinese government people were, the nationalists were worse. They were comparing to see who is worse, and Americans find out that yeah, the nationalists were worse than the communists. They were both bad. Yeah. So the America was helping Mao Zedong a little bit to fight Chiang Kai-shek, and Chiang Kai-shek had nothing. His soldiers sent out were surrounded by the communists and all killed. Eddie and Anne already got married. They were teaching a high school in the hinterland, Fry High School there.
Gray wants to know how Uncle Eddie and Aunt Anne met. How did they meet? Before you and Mom.
They met at St. John's University as classmates in different classes, of course. My sister was studying Wen Ke, I guess. I don't know what Eddie was studying, probably economics, because their father was from Yale, the economist. Yeah. They didn't know each other. They just met in class. And then Eddie went back into the interior, to the Free China, but around occupied by the Japanese, and the communists were operating there. So my brother Cole and this friend Charles Tao and Eddie, the three of them, they went in together and joined a British spy work. The British mission was to go behind the Japanese lines and burn their bridges, interrupt the railroad and so forth, doing that kind of work. So the three of them become together, and then Anne, a single woman by herself, went in by herself after she graduated from St. John's University. She was voted the best student overall, men and women all included. She was the best student. And she went in by herself, and none of the communists there believed that a single woman from Shanghai would go in there by herself. She did. Yeah. She didn't know the world, didn't have no idea what the world was like. Yeah, she just did it. And eventually she joined up with this British mission, Guok, yeah. the three of them. And they got married in Chongqing and had Eddie in Chongqing. And they were protecting Eddie from the rats. The rats were the ears, the nose, and the lip. Rats, big rats. The cats can't get there. They're afraid. You have to use blunt instruments to kill them. Yeah, the cats and not they're big rats. The cats are afraid of them. They can't fight them. So the baby was called Nunu.
Eddie was called Nunu?
Yeah, Nunu.
Now, did you go to that wedding or not? It was in wartime.
No. I didn't get married at wartime.
No, but they did. So did you go to the wedding?
They were married at, I think they were married in Chongqing. I'm not sure where. No, they were married in Guizhou. They both became high school teachers, yeah.
I can imagine him teaching. I can imagine her teaching. She's pretty shy.
That was no man's land. See, the nationalists, communists, and the Japanese, nobody touched those small towns where they had the schools. I didn't meet, mom, yeah. Well, the first time was in Chengdu. Yeah, she was walking with two other girls.
Very tough.
And Chao Chao was a student there. He became the doctor. He said, you want to meet, this is Eddie's Mei, you want to meet her? Look at her. She was walking around. Something was bothering her. I said, oh, no. I didn't want to meet her. I was afraid. Yeah, she was the opposite of me. She waited for her brother, younger brother, John, so that they can go to school together. So she's kind of 2 years behind her regular school because of John. So she's always the oldest, automatically the leader in her class. Every time she's in the class, if they have to make a speech, do something, lead to something, she's the head, naturally, because she's older than others. And I was always the youngest. So I was always behind. I don't go.
But she is older than you.
Excepting exercise. I was the only one able to follow the steps. You know, you're supposed to make a turn, 90-degree turn. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. And everybody ran around, but I stopped them. I was on the outside. I said, follow me. 1, 2, 3, 4. You go only one quarter. Everybody look here. Our group was the only one that actually made 360 degrees in this thing, and everybody else went halfway. They were already there. They didn't know that 1, 2, 3, 4 means you go only a quarter. Obviously, nobody was smart enough to know that, but somehow I knew. I was. I said, follow me, 1, 2, 3, 4, you go only a quarter.
So you were the leader in the PE class.
So I was a leader right away. I was smarter than most of the people, as a soldier even.
So both families seem to have a lot of smart people in it, the Chinese.
Yeah.
They seem to be smart, right? So then, how did you finally end up with mom? Someone made you go out with her, or you finally decided you wanted to ask her out, or someone pushed you together?
Well, she finally made it to Shanghai from Chongqing by ship. She waited a long time, 6 months or so before she could find. She was lucky, the school maybe went together, so they had more influence. If you're an individual by yourself, what you do is you bribe people to get a ticket to get out. Yeah. So Chinese people all learn to bribe. You have to bribe to survive, no matter what you do. But she came to Shanghai, and I was working for the airline, so I got her a ticket right away. She could fly, but she had to wait, I don't know, 3 or 5 days in Shanghai. But she got a ticket because through me, she was able to fly back from Shanghai to Beijing. And people didn't have my connection, couldn't do it. Yeah.
So she was thanking you for getting her the ticket, helping her get the ticket, so
you
went out?
Yeah, I forgot how she got ticket. At that time, inflation was terrible. We're carrying bundles of bills, this thick, yeah, bound together. Yeah. And that's maybe 10,000 Chinese yuan, right? A bundle like this.
So how did you get together since you're so shy and she's so bossy? Mom is so bossy and the leadership and tough and you're shy and
yeah.
Scared. How did you get together? After you bought her the ticket, then she said, oh, let's go out or something.
So what's the question?
How did you end up, okay, you got her the ticket, right?
Yeah.
Airline
yeah.
Ticket.
Yeah, because she's a relative, because of Anne and Eddie, yeah, because of them. So I bought the ticket.
So then you went out together, just naturally, because you bought the ticket and because your brother and sister weren't married?
I lost something.
That's all right.
Oh.
I think you can hear. I'll try to talk louder.
No.
He's not going to talk. He doesn't remember.
We should go, or I can go get gas.
You go get gas and come back. And then we'll go. So, how long did it take you to propose to her, to propose marriage to Mom? How long did you know her? 1 year, 2 years, 2 months?
Oh, I think I was in Beijing at that time. I had to go to Taiyuan, a city, large city there, all surrounded by the communists. But the city, inside the city was still nationalist. It actually had a wall. I was sent there to look at the runway to see if it was safe to land the DC-9s there. So I spent a week there. Then from Taiyuan, I think I was flown to Beijing before I came back to Shanghai. And that's when I met, that was earlier. That was before.
Eddie.
That was in 1945 still.
So long ago.
45 was when Japan surrendered. But I was in Taiyuan maybe September or October because... The nationalists were losing to the communists. Outside of the city of Taiyuan, they actually had a wall with all communists. But inside the wall, in the city, there was a runway down that street. That's inside the wall. And I was sent there to see if it was safe for the planes to fly supplies into Taiyuan from Shanghai.
Well, was it safe?
Yeah, I look at it and I say it was safe.
That's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
didn't really matter.
So, Dad, as soon as you got married, you went to America and Mom stayed in, is that right? You went to America and Mom stayed in China and went on a honeymoon with Guosha.
When I first went, Bob wasn't there. Bessie was there. I met her first. She and Ba Mei, this aunt in Los Angeles. Yeah. Ba Mei, I think, is still alive.
Is that Ba Gu?
Yeah, Ba Gu, yeah. Yeah. Buck was youngest. Buck was younger than even Bessie. Yeah, younger than Bessie. Younger than about. But her husband died early. He came out here. He slept in this house. Slept in this house in the room. I said, "Oh, I don't mind noise. I got a lot of noise in the aircraft place. I can sleep anywhere, but not with the."
He snored too loud.
Yeah, Pakufu. Pakufu was so loud that.
Wait, you snore. I snore too.
Shook the house.
No one's recording.
Like tiger's roar, yeah, like a tiger's roar. So.
I snore really loudly, more loudly than a dog.
So I gave up.
Then how did you decide to come to America? Was it just for the school? You weren't thinking of moving here? You were just thinking of going to study?
Something, yeah. Our girl at that time was. Wearing American uniform, kind of. Yeah, he's not really a soldier, but I think he was doing maybe some spy work for them. Yeah. It's a complicated world at that time.
So when you went to not St. John's, Rensselaer, did you think you would eventually go back to China at the time you went to Rensselaer? Did you think you would study there?
I had some busy. I went to Qingdao to set up a beacon station for the runway. You know, they didn't know the heading, exact heading of the runway. So I went there and set it up. We have a little building on the hill before the runway, and it's lined up with the runway. If you fly over that little building, and you use the caddy, you would come right down to the runway.
So
that's in Qingdao. Yeah. I went there. Then I went to someplace else to make measurements. What city was that?
Make measurements?
It was also Qingdao, yeah. We had to take some transit work to line up the position, but there was a factory in between that wouldn't let us in. See, we were in kind of a uniform, and here was the building. They thought that if we went through that, we're going to take this building off. This would be the runway, so they wouldn't let us in. We went this way, halfway go this way, and then come back and then continue. We passed this this big factory. Mm.
Strange.
It was all pretty interesting experience.
You were younger.
And I became I did some civil engineering work. You see. Surveying, which I learned in school, but that was the only time I did. After I came to America, I didn't do any civil engineering work. By the time I worked here, I already have a PhD and two master's degree. Yeah, one in aeronautics, one in structure. Then I went to Stanford. So then they gave me a higher level work.
Mm-hmm. We had good schools and good friends.
When I was experiencing those things, you know, everything came naturally. Wasn't anything unusual. But afterward, you know, as I look back, think back now, in my 80s, 90s, and, it sounded very interesting that I had actually done all that. It's kind of like a dream.
Yeah,
yeah.
You worked on a space program. Yeah.
It could all be a dream, but it. Some of it must be real.
Here you are in a big house.
Because I had passport and everything to prove it. I even flew from Okinawa, Seoul, South Korea, Seoul, Korea, to Manila, Philippines, because there was a possible buyer for this airplane. It's a Falcon airplane. A Falcon had a French body, but air research engines, turbofan engines.
You worked for that one company most of your life, Garrett Air Research.
Yeah, all the way.
What people do nowadays, they only work 3 years for a company, then they quit and work for another one. My friend worked for one company for 10 years, and then when she's applying for another job, they all asked her, why did you stay so long? Not, oh, it's good you stayed long. Why did you stay there 10 years? It's very different. Yeah, she stayed there too long. She's one of the oldest people in her company. She works for Dropbox. She had worked for Autodesk.
At that time, Andy was quite a figure in Beijing, because he was driving a Jeep and he's wearing kind of American uniform, you know, although he didn't belong to the army. And of course he looked American, So when he turned around and spoke the Chinese, he was a native, you know, Peking dialect. So like when I speak Peking dialect, they know that I was from the Nanfang, from Shanghai. But he spoke that as soon as something left his mouth, people startled. Here's an American in a Jeep. He speaks Chinese.
I think he went to a Beijing American school, so his American accent is perfect too.
So he was